welcome to another episode of the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and I am joined, as always, by Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
And Jan Dalton.
Hello.
Right, well, this week, we're now back in the groove of January, so none of this sitting back thinking, oh, I really fancy another one of those mince pies that's still festering away in the cupboard. No, we're back into the game, aren't we, really?
We certainly are.
Right in the middle of the transfer window, you know, halfway through the season, everyone's thinking, oh, what direction is everything going to go? And like, people are looking at all their bets they laid out in August thinking, oh dear, this is
Why did I go for Chelsea to win the treble?
Why did I do that? Actually, I reckon they're good money to win the cup, though, this year.
Yeah, good point.
I do. Top tip there.
Well, when Rafa took over, the last time they were terrible and they ended up having to give the management job to Rafa Benitez temporarily, they won the Europa League. So despite the fact that it was a bad season, they still managed to come out with a trophy. So I think you're on to something there.
But it's an intriguing season, isn't it? It is. I mean, like, as we said, it's the bonkers Premier League. In the Premier League, it's intriguing. So why is everyone saying it's so boring? Or why is everyone saying that Man United are so boring? And that's really the subject of today's podcast. Terry, why are Man United so boring?
Well, they're not really playing very well, I think, is how it is.
Yeah, we have to caveat this. While we're recording this, they're actually playing, and they've scored twice in a half. They're actually playing Newcastle. And by the time we come out of here, it could be 7-5, couldn't it?
They
could be playing about nine aside by the end of it as well. Yeah, you know, we've got Colaccini and Fellaini on the same pitch together.
Oh, dear. That's gonna I've just got that playing out in my mind.
Mike Dean in charge of it all.
Mike Dean.
I suppose if you ever really wanted something to say, right, okay, well, we'll put a game on that won't be boring, then I think you've got the perfect storm there.
Comedy football.
Well, having seen the first 45 minutes, it has been like that, really.
Slapstick.
Literally slap. It's finished. But yeah, he's coming for a lot of criticism. His old LBG. Is that warranted?
Yes, because United can be and have been, you know, this season quite dull to watch. I, like many people, found myself easily distracted while watching the FA Cup game at the weekend against Sheffield United.
Oh yeah, I did. I turned over to watch Pointless. So.
I thought you were going to say porn there, but either would have been fine.
That's what I did.
I think we said in the advent calendar that Van Gaal is I think trying to impose some kind of system of play, a philosophy, as people like to call it. I don't know why they call it philosophy, but you know, they do. And he's having trouble implementing it on this side. That being said, United do have sufficiently high quality enough players to keep themselves out of trouble and to, you know, win games, you know, in difficult fashion. And that can be quite boring to watch. The upshot of it is that they are boring. If they were losing matches, they wouldn't be boring at all. It'd be very interesting, interesting and funny.
Well, they were losing matches in December, weren't they? But in general terms,
they win more than they lose. And you know, they generally cut.
And they're still within a thrice of the top of the table. Really,
they could still win the league.
Yeah,
astonishingly, that's how bonkers this Premier League is. Is that, you know, United are quite poor. But you know, it's obviously all relative. I read a tweet from a Doncaster Rovers fan who pointed out the relativeness of United's decline. And it is worth pointing out that, you know, really and truly, yeah, they're not even mid-table. They're better than mid-table. So it really is. It's not much of a decline.
Yeah.
But I suppose they're quite boring to watch.
So, philosophy in football then, Jan. Do you think that Louis van Gaal perhaps should think less about the metaphysical qualities of football and more about the scoring goals?
Wow. How come I get that question?
I thought you'd like that one.
No, I do like that one, actually. Obviously, you can't win games without scoring goals. I think we all know that.
I score, therefore I win.
We're really getting into this philosophy,
aren't
we?
We both got the beards. That's why we have to do it.
Yeah, we certainly stroke our beards. Yeah, I mean, he's got to go for goals, obviously, to win the games, as I've said. But as Terry said, that he's being pulled up by the media. The fans are probably getting a bit wound up by the media. And he sells newspapers, of course, to crucify a manager of the biggest team in the world, you could argue, because of his playing style or because he's not being successful. But in my view, you know, he shouldn't even get into that in the press conferences. The press conferences are placed a few days before the weekend game or the midweek game or whatever, so he can talk about the game, not about his job and not about his playing style. Well, maybe he could talk about his playing style, but if it was me, I'd just say, look, I'm not here to talk about speculation in my job. I'll talk about how I'm going to do at the weekend. I'll talk about the players I've got available. I'll talk about how they're playing and whether they're playing very well or very badly. But, you know, leave me out of this. You know, this has got nothing to do with this press conference. I think he should stop worrying about that. I think the press should leave off him about that. And, you know, maybe he'll find that the results would start coming. But I don't think that he should start playing four up front and just to try and appease the sports editor of The Sun, for example.
Yeah, I'll be careful how I word my next questions then, because I don't want you doing a Lou Van Halen walking out on me. So it's interesting though, because I think the term that seems to be cropping up now is what the fans are known to chant, and that's attack, 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 attack. What exactly are they expecting? Because they don't have people like Giggs or Ronaldo there anymore. They don't have the players that are going to leave the fullbacks looking like imbeciles. They've got what they've got now. They've spent a lot of money on it, but they don't have those gung-ho charging wingers anymore, do they?
No, which was such a hallmark of Alex Ferguson's teams, wasn't it? Though they're more, shall we say, prosaic in their build-up play, and their attacking play isn't based as much on pace as you're used to seeing. Jesse Lingard and Martial and Wayne Rooney all have their virtues in their own way, but they're not necessarily, you know, what you would describe as lightning fast players.
Yeah. Two of those players are still youngsters as well and still finding their way in the game.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, you could make an argument that there, you know, with Rooney aside, there's no experience up in that attacking area. Rooney, we've all talked about it, and it continues to be the case. Rooney's form has certainly dipped, and, you know, unsurprisingly, he's, 30 years old, and the number of games he's played, is maybe his legs aren't what they were. So they do have those kind of shortcomings there. And, of course, Juan Mata, who was signed sort of in the transfer window in David Moyes' one and only season, hasn't really, you know, been the player that I think people were expecting him to be. I don't know whether Juan Mata really was the player at Chelsea people wanted him to be. I think that there was a perception that he was a kind of a guile but flying winger, but actually he's a bit more prosaic than that. He's played through the middle and he's played out wide as well. And he said, I don't think that he's really been able to fit into any system. Or perhaps it's more accurate to say that he's been unlucky to play in teams whereby there hasn't been a particular system that he fit, you know, that for him to sort of get stuck into. I mean, I wonder what would have happened if he'd gone to Arsenal. I'm sure Arsene Wenger would have known what to have done with him.
Do you reckon that Man United have a duty to be entertaining?
That's an interesting question. I think there's an expectation that they should be entertaining because of the history they've got and their reach globally. Yeah.
And certainly to their fans as well. They don't want to see, like, you know, the fact they haven't scored at home in the first half for now 10 games.
Yeah, I think it's 10 games. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But what about to the wider footballing narrative, to the English game? The media spend a lot of money televising Man United because obviously they draw in the punters. But of course, if Man United aren't putting together a good show for them.
Well, if you look at it from a slightly different point of view, they're supposedly as big as Real Madrid, Barcelona, or someone like that. Now, I flicked over and watched I don't normally watch La Liga, but I was watching a Madrid game, the one where they won 10, was it 10-2?
Right, yeah.
Now, that, it could be said that was a fairly entertaining game, although it wasn't really one for the neutral. But it was, so I think that there's an expectation that if you're going to play in that league, if you like, that you should be, that there should you, you know, you should have one of those in your season.
Are you sure, are you sure it was an actual game and not just your son whipping you at FIFA again?
it could well have been that, actually. He'd done me again the other day, actually. Unbelievable. He'd been playing it 2 weeks. Anyway, so yeah, I think there's an expectation that they should be doing what other clubs within that with their profile should be doing.
Their peers,
yeah. So I mean, you only have to look at Barcelona and look at their front three, and you know that's a fairly exciting setup. And what Bale and Ronaldo are doing, also in Madrid, and so you know, and you know, the public get to see a lot more of these European games now, and you know, you're exposed to a lot more. So you turn to supposedly the biggest team in the country and our shining export of football, and you know, as you said, they haven't scored at home for 10 games.
In the
first half. And that's going to pile the pressure on them.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, like, what do you think if Bayern started playing like Man United have been playing for the last few months?
Well, that has happened in the past, of course, when they've gone into sort of periods of transition, shall we say. But it hasn't happened for many years. Funnily enough, it was Louis van Gaal who got Bayern Munich out of that particular funk before then, when they were there was a sort of transitionary period in the middle of the last decade after Otto Hitzfeld left and before Bayern started to get really, really good again. They played under Jürgen Klinsmann, and I mean, they weren't quite as well. They were still pretty dull in their own way, but also they were a bit clueless as well under Jürgen Klinsmann. But significantly, they had an aging squad, or at least a squad that was kind of wrung out when they signed Ribéry and Klose and Luca Toni all at the same time. Then they changed, you know, overnight. And they suddenly became brilliant again. I mean, and he's watched the dynamics in German football, obviously, very different. But maybe, I mean, I suspect that that's really what United need to be able to do, is they do need to be able to bring in some no-brainer signings for phenomenal amounts of money, who will guarantee you goals and success. I mean, Ribéry came into that Bayern side and he just absolutely tore those Bundesliga defences to pieces. I mean, he was taking the piss out of them, frankly, a lot of the time. It's important to remember that, as particularly his staff agent Miroslav Klose and Luca Toni just made so much hay. I think that United would struggle to bring players of that calibre in and for those players to have the same impact in this Premier League. But, you know, I suspect that that's what it would be. But I think what's happened here is that United have found themselves in a period of probably transition on and off the pitch. Maybe they can't spend the kind of money that they used to, or maybe they're just not spending the money very well. I suspect it's probably the latter. But, I mean, all it really takes is perhaps a bit of coordination at a slightly higher level. They're obviously not signing the right players. And, you know, it's difficult to sort of say, you know, why they're not doing that, you know, beyond the fact that, you know, they, since Alex Ferguson left, no one seems to know how to run the football side of the club as well as he did, which is hardly surprising.
But I suppose as well, anyone who's outside the top two who thinks that their side is lower than where they should be is going to be saying that, saying, you know, we just haven't signed the right players, or the manager's got to change,
In United's case, it's true.
Yeah.
Whereas I think perhaps in other cases it's not true. But I think in United's case, I think that's definitely the case. May I just go back to what you asked Jan a second ago about, do United have a duty?
I don't know. We're such a fast-moving pod, Terry.
No. I mean, like, you know, but essentially, because I mean, I think that actually they do. I mean, maybe not in a real sense, but the money that's coming into the Premier League is so vast now that there are expectations from the people who pay that money.
Damn straight, yeah.
And as Manchester United are the biggest, best-supported club, and probably the team most likely to gain the most money from the biggest share from that money, they do have a duty to the broader duty to the Premier League as a brand and as a commodity, and to be entertaining, and that's the price you pay for commodifying your your football game, is that you now have to be good and exciting and interesting and entertaining and exciting to watch. So, I mean, they shouldn't have a duty to be entertaining, because football possibly shouldn't be run along those lines. But since it is, they do.
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose that's where it comes down to an argument, though, isn't it, really? Where you say, well, is football entertainment? Or is it, all right, we know it's a sport, but is it entertainment when it's professionalised, when you're charging people a lot of money to go in? And we can have lots of discussions about how much money people spend on going to football. But at the end of the day, you know, they've got to put on a show, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they've got to be able to say, right, okay, that it's all right saying, well, look, stick with this, because at the end of the season, like, everything will be fine. It's like watching like season 5 of some terrible TV show that's got a story arc and no stories. It's just
and you're waiting to the end of the season for the payoff.
Yeah,
because I'm committed now, so I'm going to wait. And then they leave it on a cliffhanger for a season 6, which is never.
Yeah. I've paid Amazon Prime now for a whole bloody year, haven't I? So.
My view on that is that they don't have to put on a show.
Yeah,
that they have to win games, and there's a difference there.
Mm.
Because Mourinho did very well at Chelsea without necessarily setting the world on fire. I'm not saying all of his games were boring, but you know, he was quite happy to get a goal in and then just park the bus.
Yeah,
and he was very successful at that. It always surprised me, actually, when people defend a 1-0 lead. I'm just, that's probably because I've grown up watching Sunderland. I'm thinking, how are you going to do that for like 80 minutes? That's impossible. That's never going to happen. But I mean,
if you can pull this off, it's going to be really entertaining.
Well, that's a really good point, actually, because that. I think admiring the ability of the players to actually pull together and coordinate themselves and achieve that, I think that is really entertaining. But I think it's entertaining to football heads. But I think that your Spotify generation, who just wants, you know, I don't like that one, I want this one, I don't like that one, I want this one. They just want instant goals.
Yeah.
You know, there's a broader entertainment than just banging the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
Some of the best games I've been to have been 0-0 draws. In fact, the game I picked was a 0-0, and you know, some of them are really great. You don't necessarily have to. I mean, they're all brilliant. Don't get me wrong; watching goals are good, but there's more to it, isn't there?
Yeah,
Most football fans suffer because most football fans' teams don't win all the time.
Mm.
It's only, you know, a handful of teams, you know, at the right end of whatever division that they happen to be playing in that do. That do, you know, find themselves, you know, talking about matters of such as entertainment and attacking and you know, football, don't they?
Mm.
You know, I mean, you know, I'm a Palace fan, and I even at the moment, although we're going well, I have suffered and will suffer again, and I know it's the truth. When we support Whiteleaf, and you know, we're doing okay. If we go up next season, you know, we'll suffer. Because we'll be going to the, you know, Ryman Premier, and there's teams with bigger budgets, better players, and they'll beat us a lot, and we'll suffer. And football is suffering, and that's why it's always difficult to try and sell it as an entertainment. And then you end up attracting people who probably don't enjoy suffering that much, and then get annoyed when they find themselves following a team and find themselves suffering. But it is an essential part of it.
This was meant to be fun.
Yeah,
football isn't fun. The glorious moments when you have those moments of success are tremendous fun, but they're to attack. There's more. Fun is almost a cheap word for it. It's more than fun. I mean,
it's just a reprieve from suffering.
Well, it's a reprieve from relief, yes, that you know.
Stop banging your head against the wall.
For a moment, you're no longer miserable. But it's also quite profound because it reinforces the connection that you have with the club.
Yeah.
Because in those moments of celebrations, you realise how much you love the club and how much you really actually don't mind the amount of suffering.
Yeah.
Which it can only explain why people continue to watch.
Sounds like Catholicism, doesn't it?
It could be, yeah. Without the beat. So, okay, well, I'm going to ask this question of both of you. Okay, who's having the worst season? The armchair Chelsea fan or the Man United season ticket holder?
Oh, I'm having a bad season because my neighbour's a Chelsea fan and he's in turmoil. He's lost his hair and everything. No, they are in turmoil.
Yeah.
I don't really know any Man United fans. Well, actually, there's a couple at work and they just seem baffled. I think is the word.
Shell-shocked.
Just look what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to, you mentioned a period of transition earlier. I think that they're going to go through that for a long time to come. I think that things have changed, though. I think that, you know, I'm not saying that Alex Ferguson wouldn't be a success now, because he clearly knew his stuff and knows his stuff. But I think that the age of flying wingers charging down the wings and getting away with that, you know, it doesn't happen that often. Mm. And there's not many attacking sides in the Premier League now. People are happy to do what, you know, yeah, as I said, to, you know, get a 1-0 win and sit behind it. I mean, maybe Leicester's a little bit of an exception to that. But, you know, are Man United any more dull than any other team within three or four places of where they are? I don't think they are.
Well, I suppose it really just comes down to the amount of times the ball goes into the back of the net for United, really. I don't think they're creating markedly less chances than other teams are. But obviously, the style of which they're doing it. And I suppose what really is frustrating you for the fans is they probably see the same thing over and over again. It's like the definition of insanity. You do the same thing again, expecting different results. Mm. Terry, what do you think? Who's having the worst season
there? Yeah, I think the Chelsea armchair fan is having the worst season, because at least the United fan gets the opportunity to enjoy those moments of success in the stadium. You know, they've got their season ticket, and it's much more of a pleasant. You know, being an armchair fan is a very solitary experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you're just sitting there and just allowing yourself to become miserable. Whereas at least, you know, when you go to a game, and the chances are you're going with your mates, or if you're going with your family, then it's a more rounded and wholesome experience, isn't it, than just sitting there and going,
You're going to have a best prawn sandwich while you're there.
Well, you know, I mean, fair enough. I mean if you like a prawn sandwich and, you know, you want to bring it along to a game, then, you know, you can enjoy yourself. I mean, the point of the thing is, I mean, generally speaking, if you go along to a football match, I think that you do get enjoyment out of it. When we've seen Whiteleaf lose how many home games this season? Loads of home games this season.
Yeah, mind you, they're unbeaten
They are on a run now. But in the first half of the season, they were atrocious at home. But I can honestly say that I enjoyed every single, you know, visit to Turch Road, because... Mm. You know, it's not really, you know, it's about the social experience of hanging out with your mate, watching football, having a bit of a laugh.
And we watch some decent football down there as well.
Yeah. We do from time to time watch quite good football, and they've got a nice crop of good youngsters there, and they've got some good veterans there who are hard working. It's a good team. It's a great day out. So, you know, I mean...
Get along to your local non-league football.
Well, yeah. I mean, not everyone can get to football. Not everyone, you know, one can get to football. But, I mean, you know, if you can and it's possible, then, of course, you should get yourself along. And then these matters become perhaps less important about, you know, whether or not they're playing boring football, or whether or not, you know, they're winning as many games as they should do, or, you know, these stuff like that can become perhaps less important if you just... allow yourself to enjoy the experience.
I think the problem is, I don't know whether it's society or just the way things have gone, but people expect things very, very quickly. They expect instant gratification. Look how we communicate in social media. You've got to be able to read that in one tweet. I mentioned Spotify earlier. They've changed the way music is played now. You don't have intros now in a lot of songs, because people just listen to the first few bars and then just skip past it. So you look at all the recent hits, because people just want it instantly. Mm. And so they just want goals to pull that into football. And I think that that's what, you know, the press pick up on that, because they know what you know, the zeitgeist is. Mm. I want more goals. I just want to see goals. And that pressure then goes on to, you know, a team that's expected to be thumping them in. Mm. And I think that, you know, you might see more and more and more pressure on lots of different managers and clubs, and I think actually you might ultimately see some people start to move away from football, because I think the attention span of people is starting to shrink. And to sit there for two sets of 45 minutes and see no goals, some people will find that a real turn-off. I don't.
No.
I think that's the best way to spend two sets of 45 minutes. But I think that because of the way things are, and people expect things so quickly, that that you will you may well see. People
good.
Move away from it.
Good. Sod off.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't come back.
But I think that's part of the problem, and I think that creates the pressure.
Hmm. I was reading today that in a newspaper,
Wow.
I didn't actually read the newspaper. I was reading the online version of the newspaper. And they were talking about the fact that the draw for the fourth round of the FA Cup was boring. There wasn't any interesting fixtures in it.
And, right. Well, I mean, in fairness, Crystal Palace did get drawn at home with Stoke. So, you know, I've got some sympathy for that.
And isn't that the only All Premier League? I think there are a couple of others pending replays, but I think that was the only one that came out the hat.
I've got to be honest with you, I've not looked at the rest of the draw. Yeah. I saw Palace's draw and I just stormed off in a huff. I mean, I should point out, I was alone in my office looking at the video there, so I was storming out from no one. No one was there to see me storm off. Maybe my cat. Yeah. So I don't know why I stormed off in a huff, but I did storm off in a huff, and I haven't actually had the opportunity to look
see,
at
this
yet.
Is it. This is modern world.
It's people like me, world, yeah.
See,
yeah.
Like, where people think that it is their right to storm off in a huff, even when there's no one else there. It's going to affect.
Indeed. And I suppose that's probably why I decided to mention it now, just so that I could get some, you know, acknowledgement that this is what happened. Didn't
yeah,
it?
Unfortunately, really, that has not really happened, has it, really?
No, it's not happened at all. I don't feel in any way vindicated or modified.
Yes. Are you feeling mocked?
I feel a little silly, actually, yeah. I feel a little bit silly.
You should definitely feel mocked.
Boring FA Cup draws is... You know, I think we always get... Palace always get knocked out in, like, the first... fourth round, maybe if they're lucky they get to the fifth round. So when the draw comes up, it's like excitement, we're in the draw, and then it's always disappointing. I mean, the thing is, we could have drawn Man United at home and they'd probably have gone, oh, we'll never get through to the next round now, so I'm never happy with the draw. But to say that a draw is, you know, I mean, to say a draw is boring is fine. To, you know, write opinion pieces about how boring FA Cup draws are is perhaps not quite getting the point of it.
But it's subjective,
I think it's okay
though,
to have an opinion about an FA Cup draw if you think it's boring. It's fine. I don't know whether I'd write 800 words on the subject matter.
No. But it is subjective though, isn't it? Depends who you support. Yeah. Who did Arsenal get?
Home to Burnley.
Burnley. So if you're a Burnley supporter, that's a pretty
that's a
exciting
great draw.
That's a pretty good draw. Well, the good thing is that the teams that finished in the top six, last season, I think four of them are away. So City are away, United are away.
Right. To lower league sides?
Chelsea, yeah.
Well, that's a great draw.
So, yeah, it's great.
How is that boring?
How is that?
No, that's interesting.
No, because what they're saying is it's not boring because none of the big teams got drawn against another big team.
Right.
Well, that's when it's
boring.
That's when it's boring.
When it's an all Premier League tie, you're like, oh, that's
dumb. When you watch every other weekend.
Premier League's for Premier League games. Yes. FA Cup's for non-Premier League games.
Well, when we drew against, we had drawn Arsenal in the third round. And I was like, dull.
Yes.
I knew we were going to go out. And that wasn't part of why I thought it was dull. I just thought, well, you know, we play Arsenal twice a season.
And only a few weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
Do you ever get the impression sometimes that there are football fans out there that don't actually like football?
Yes.
I think there's a lot of them.
Yeah, I get that.
That actually...
There's football commentators that don't like football.
Yeah. I mean,
Alan Green hates football.
You get that impression. He's an easy target.
He's an easy target.
So I think that's a bit unfair. But because he is a bit of an easy... Because his style is... Yeah, okay. He has quite a caustic, quite a dry style. But I don't know whether or not that's entirely fair. But I mean, but I do see your point. Apart from yours, he probably has opportunities to go elsewhere if he wants to.
Mm.
But I think that there are people, not just in the media, but I think there are fans, football fans.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I definitely think so.
There are people who rage about a TV programme that they watch every week and they say how shit it is every week.
Yeah. Mm.
And then you think, well, has it occurred to you that you don't like this programme?
Mm.
Maybe you should stop watching it. And I get the impression sometimes with some people about football.
I think that's a really good point.
I think there is definitely a feeling amongst a lot of fans... A lot of people who regularly go to football, that they don't like football at all. They just like their football club.
Right. Yes. Well, I mean, that's fine, I guess.
Yeah. Mm.
But I think the people I'm talking about are people who don't go to football matches and then just never seem to be very happy with what they're watching.
Well, actually, I think there are a lot of people out there who do genuinely enjoy being pissed off.
Yes, well, I suppose
there is. Yeah. They get some. They must get some pleasure out of being. Like,
otherwise, they genuinely wouldn't do it anymore.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it is a question of whatever floats your boat, really. I mean, if it makes you happy, it's just it can be. It's just sort of sometimes despair sometimes. It's probably age. Just thinking.
Then again, we do have the benefit of standing in a small room every week and to be able to spout off about it.
We get to vent. Yeah,
it's basically therapy, isn't it, for us?
We get to vent spleen. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
People get excited about is the soap opera. I think they get excited when a players that go off to Thailand and do unspeakable things, and it's. they're interested in bad behaviour. They're interested in transfer rumours. They're interested in transfer deadline day, and they're interested in probably match of the day at a push. But even that's an hour longer than they can probably hold their attention for. And unless all those things are all sparkly and lovely, then football's a bit shit for them.
The actual talking about football. I mean, we're as guilty as anyone else. I mean, how often do we actually talk about football on this football podcast?
We did quite a lot today.
We did. Today was a bit of an exception, but normally we don't talk about football on our football podcast. We talk about the stuff around football. So perhaps we're just as bad. Maybe we don't like, maybe I don't like football.
Oh, dear,
I can feel an existential crisis.
I knew as soon as I brought the word metaphysical into the podcast.
It was all downhill from there.
Yeah. Happen, now, we're all just going to sit down there and think about it. Yeah.
We're going to add we should add an extra half an hour of nothing but silence. So that the listeners can just sit there and ponder whether or not they actually like football.
I'll put some birdsong or something in the background or something like that.
That's
just,
right.
Just to stretch it out. Then.
I think that's a great
idea. I think they wouldn't mind me putting an extra 50 megabits on there.
Why would they mind that at all? I can't think of a single reason why they'd have a problem with that.
No, I don't think so at all. yes. And on that ornithological point, I think it's time to bring this podcast to a close. Jan's lost his shit.
I'm back in the room.
So from me, Graham Sibley, from Terry DeFellin, and from Jan Bilton, yes, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Quack, quack.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.